with the date of this broadcast, is now less than 3 weeks away from 5,773 years from the day original man, woman dwelt upon this blessed earth. Let's bring in Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldstock. Good morning, Eliezer, fresh from the Holy Land of Israel, now back in Kessler Crown Heights, Brooklyn, New York.
Good morning, Don. Fresh I'm not too sure about, but definitely here. Yeah, I've landed, and I want to tell you, the air is different, but it was an amazing trip. And can you hear me, by the way? I just want to make sure that
I hear you very nicely, and I'm sure I'm hearing you nicely. Everyone else who's listening live will eventually hear you on the archivist will hear you just as nice.
Baruch Hashem. So the journey home was one of the most amazing trips. I just a quick anecdote because I think it's kind of cute. El Al, their service was absolutely amazing. I must tell you, and the entire trip, the entire journey there and back, while you know cramped in a little seat and you know uncomfortable, they did do their best to try to make it as nice and comfortable as humanly possible. There was a stewardess came over and asked me, and there was a gentleman sitting near the window. I have the aisle seat, and there was a spot in the middle. It was empty. And she said that there was, you know, I was sitting and learning my, Devar Malchus. And I had a whole bunch of stuff that I was trying to catch up on the way home. And of course, in between, I was trying to do as much sleeping as humanly possible. And she asked us, she said, you know, I noticed that you guys are not watching your, the televisions. And, you know, they have all the games and the TVs and all that stuff. So I said, yeah. She said, would you mind switching your seat with a lady who has two little girls? And their televisions aren't working. And I said, I wouldn't have a problem with it. And the guy next to me said, no. And so we got up and we just went. And the stewardess said, are you for real? I mean, you really do it? I said, well, yeah, why not? I mean, I'm not watching it. So she said, wow, fantastic, just a second. So we switched seats. She said, a half hour before the flight, you know, before we land, I'll come and get you and we'll switch you back. So, you know, you can get your overhead baggage and stuff. So we did it. A half hour before the flight is over, the stewardess comes over with a whole group of stewardesses. I don't know, do you call them stewardi? Stewardim? What do you call them? I don't know. Anyhow, stewardote, I guess. So, not to offend the male steward, she comes over, and there are a whole group of them standing around. I thought, oh, isn't this nice? They're going to sing happy birthday or something. I had no idea what was going on. She hands me this bag and handed it to the other fellow sitting next to me. We got two bottles of Beniamina wine, Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon. And they said, you know, we just want to thank. I said, oh no, we didn't do this for a gift. You know, no. El Al wants to thank you for making the journey for those two little girls such an enjoyable one. I said, well, you know, it wasn't a bad flight for us either. You know, I mean, they insisted. So I have two bottles of wine. If you want to come over, we can work on two bottles of Merlot, one Merlot and one Cabernet Sauvignon. Anyhow, I thought it was just a very nice touch, and I think El Al deserves the credit for recognizing that, I was displaced out of my seat, you know? No. Actually, I didn't mind doing it at all, and I think that, the more you see, Mitzvah's Guerrero's Mitzvah, I don't know if it's a mitzvah. The lady said, thanks for the mitzvah, and I said, I don't remember seeing a mitzvah of giving up your seat on an El Al flight anywhere, right. But okay, I went along with it. Anyhow, it was a great flight, and I'm happy to have the wine, and I just can't wait to get to the store to get a straw.
Eliezer, before you continue, I just want to give a shout-out. We got an unusual plug this morning for the show. There's a group that I happen to be a part of. It's called Health-Living, and let's see, please forgive me, group out there, Health-Living Raw and Organic. And I'd like to read you the plug, And I think this is kind of an impromptu question because we did, bless ourselves, prepare for the show. We had a certain angle to cover. But I want you to address this angle. This is Roger Oberlin from Alliance Ohio Eliezer wrote the following about our efforts. Now, he said, "I won't do this often. I don't want our page to have a religious slant from Christian or Jewish side, but I love Don, Roger, and I love you, and I thank him for telling about the group and adding some of his friends. His show is in a few minutes." So, Eliezer, your essential service in the community is to empower Jewish families not to give up their children with special needs, to keep them, and just to as like a shout out to Roger Oberlin and the people at, you know, Living Raw and Organic, how this message that you are trying to transmit into the creation is something which is relevant to anyone, whether they're Jewish or otherwise, Noahide nations, rest of the nations of the world, and that we take a Jewish stamp because you're trying to reach out to the Jewish families, but it's an instruction for all people. I know this is kind of an impromptu question, but I just want to have a Karas Tov, giving thanks to Roger Oberling for promoting us in a part of Facebook that might not normally get such promotion towards our efforts to try to help people help themselves and help human families live in a more dignified manner. And ultimately, for the sake of giving more dignity to special needs or handicapable people.
Was that a question?
No, I'd like you to comment on it.
I was sitting here waiting for like the question mark, and then okay, yeah, 100%. First of all, as we know, we are what we eat, and I am a firm believer in. After having spent 7 weeks in Eretz Yisrael on this last trip, and after eating Israeli food primarily, I didn't eat anything. Oh, I'm sorry. Mendy is still addicted to hot dogs, so we're trying to slowly get him through the withdrawal period. But he does have an equal taiva for shawarma. So we're in the process of weaning him from that. I personally have an affinity towards falafel, which is organic in Israel, of course, and it is also vegetarian. And so in doing so, I must admit, I've lost 10 pounds on this trip, and I feel fantastic. And I came home and I realized I'm eating lighter, and I'm eating primarily, vegetarian fare, meaning rice and salads and fruits. I'm eating a lot of fruits and vegetables. And I must tell you, I'm feeling a lot better. Being lighter, of course, my pants I had to pull my belt in one more notch. But there's one thing I do want to say, though. That I'm happy to have and be participating in anything that whose objective is to improve the health and well-being of humankind. My problem is when it becomes an avoda that tries to supplant believing in God. In other words, where it becomes a religious effort. Even the Torah admits that there are times when we can eat things that are not kosher, and that if you're a vegetarian, you can eat meat. And we have to recognize that not to get to the point where that becomes a hard, fast line in the sand, so that, first of all, we shouldn't divide people over it. That's number one. And number two, that we shouldn't exclude any other suggestions of certain foods or certain supplements of any kind that may wind up helping someone just because they don't fit the definition or that specific definition of healthy eating. Now, that having been said, I am very much in favor of promoting the concept of eating organic and foods that have not been infused with antibiotics and with sprays and with all of the various toxic items that are used to prevent you know, infestations of any kind that allow us to become healthier and not to have this toxic buildup in our system. So I feel that, this is a personal feeling again, that I am more leaning more towards and becoming more in favor of eating this type of these kinds of foods. I do still on Shabbos. However, I had I only ate. It's funny. Not intentionally, because I was at my daughter-in-law's house, who, by the way, serves a fantastic Shabbos meal for me every time I come. I went there, and lately I noticed that in the chult, just as an example, I just have been eating primarily the barley and the beans and the potatoes and so forth. And she gets all organic products for her chult. So, and the meat, I haven't really been going for the red meat, so to speak. And I'm feeling a lot better. I must admit that it's changed my my whole outlook really on food. I'm not as obsessive about having a meal at a certain time. I eat a little something in the morning, my whole grain toast, and then I go through the whole day until the evening. And I've been lately having some rice and a little fish, and I don't know if that fish fits in with the with the health of this particular group that you mentioned, but I think I've seen their site, the discussion, and I'm very in favor of this. And I must admit that the children and the adults who have Down syndrome, our constituency, who are eating these kinds of foods, are finding themselves also with the same kinds of results that I'm finding. So hopefully we'll get Mendy off of the meat, and get him more into the pizza with falafel rather than the shawarma. The word shawarma alone causes him to salivate, you know what I mean? So I have to find a substitute word, code word. And hot dogs, by the way, in Israel are two things. First of all, they're made from chicken, and they don't use byproducts. They're all done with chicken, and they don't last long on the shelf because there's not very many preservatives in them. We've been trying to go primarily with organic products, so I'm on board. And I really believe that, as I said from the very beginning, we are what we eat, and I think it's important. We are what we breathe, we are what we consume, liquid and solids, and we are what we expose our eyes and ears to as well. So we should really be working on organic thoughts and organic visual aids, and staying away from. There's so many things on the internet that you can get involved with, and I'm trying to make my contribution, for example, on Facebook, and only exposing us as a group to what I call truly G-rated but informative and hopefully mentally stimulating concepts and ideas. It's on my Rabbi Eliezer Goldstock site on Facebook, anybody who would like to go there. Who hasn't yet, and I feel that anybody, and I have children, I tell parents, thank me all the time. I run into people on Kinks and they thank me all the time. Baruch Hashem, my kids go to your site and they're able to read it, and they know that there's no shtusim there, and there's no there's nothing offensive there. So we really have to be organic, not only with our mouths, with what comes into our mouth, but as has been said many times before, we have to be as organic about what comes out of our mouths as well.
True. Elizabeth, I just want to point out the word
organic. Speaking of which, excuse me, Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Sha'kol Nihyo B'dvorei.
Amen. And Rabbi Goldsack just made a blessing, as the Jewish tradition promotes, to thank the Most High that everything comes into being through His blessed speech, which is not like our speech. And also, Elliot, in the word organic, I just want to mention that the idea that there's actually two Hebrew words in the word organic, or, which means light, which is related to consciousness, and gan, or gan, is related to the garden. So organic is kind of tying back in some subconscious manner, perhaps back to the Garden of Eden, where it was just, the Garden of Eden was just that, a garden of light, a garden of pure consciousness of the Most High.
Well, yeah, and or it was the lighted Garden of Ick.
I don't know how you learn out Ick.
I know, you couldn't get the Ick in there, but I got it. I mean, no, I was actually thinking the same thing. You and I are becoming nuts, you know that? We're starting to think alike. That's
but nuts can be organic, and nuts
that's
are
right.
Vegetarians. That's okay.
That could be the ick, you know what I mean? There's the ego, the id, and the ick.
Oh, there's one more thing, but since it's the 30th show, I just thought I would bring this in, that you're saying, you mentioned at the beginning of the show that you're not so fresh, but actually the gematria for the Hebrew word for fresh, which also means lach, is 38, 30th show, and also to his heart, Libo is also the gematria, the mathematical computation of the three Hebrew letter words, lamed, bez, vav. So, fresh to your heart.
Oh, good. Tari.
This is, yeah, Tari.
Tari is
now,
fresh
this,
also, yeah.
This is the, by the way, a big shout out also to Cindy Greenstein and Vaughn out in Denver, Colorado, who's listening to the show now. Good morning, Cindy, and not only to you, but to everyone out listening there. It's a custom of Jewish people to wish everyone that they should be written and sealed in. For the sweetest year ever in the upcoming lunar calendar year, 5,773 years into creation. But Eliezer, now it's the month of Elo, and this month is traditionally a month of preparation for the new year. And one of the ways of preparing for the new year is that we become aware of a teaching from the Alter Rebbe about the allegory about the king who normally sits in his castle with all the austerity and the glory that a king has sitting in his castle, and he actually goes out into the field to greet the subjects of the kingdom with a cheery and smiling countenance, and to recognize them as being a precious part of his kingdom. So, Eliezer, can you take the ball and run with it, this concept? We're in the month of mercy, and also, if you can connect it to the divine attribute of patience, Erech HaPayim, how can we connect the month of mercy with patience, and how can you connect that to your work with heart to heart?
Well, first of all, you have to have absolutely no patience with anybody in order to succeed at this. That's the beginning. But, you know, all seriousness aside, that's an expression I use all the time, joking with people. All joking aside, that's it.
Right.
The concept of mercy is we say rachamim. You know that rachamim, the shorish of the word is rechem, which means the womb. It's the Hebrew word for womb, and we learn from that when a person is in the womb, the rechem, that's where the mother transmits rachamim to her children. And that's where it begins. And so therefore we know that it's through the woman that the attribute of rachamim or rechem, rachamim comes into the world. I just want to say in relationship to that, I don't know if I'm going to do this right, but tomorrow is Yud Aleph Elul. And 22 years ago on Yud Aleph Elul, on a Shabbos, my wife and I left our house in the morning via taxi. Yes, I went in a taxi cab on Shabbos. And we went to the hospital. And there my wife gave birth to Sarah Mushka, Suri Mushka Goldstock,
wow.
Who is now 22 years old, another little Levi who was born, a bus Levi, who was born into the world, and tomorrow she's celebrating her 22nd birthday. And the Rebbe once said that that we should, you know, do certain things on her birthday to, you know, there are many amongst the Orthodox Jewish enclave that do not celebrate their birthdays, but the Rebbe brought out an idea that that every year we should reflect upon what happened during the course of the year before, and that we should, take our lives to a new level, you know, increasing, take on a new mitzvah. We should give extra tzedakah on the day of our birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And if your birthday falls out on a Shabbos, of course, you give the tzedakah the day before Shabbos, not on Shabbos. You spend more time davening than you normally do. And the Kapitel Tehillim, you say, according to your day of birth. So my daughter's birthday is the 22nd year. She's 22. That means she's completed her 22nd year, and she's going into her 23rd year. So during the course of this next year, she will say Kapitel Chaf Gimel, which is Kapitel the Tehillim number, Psalm number 23. So, and it's easy to explain. If you're born the day you're born, you're not yet 1 year old, right? So for that whole year, you say Kapitel Aleph. Now on your first birthday, you don't say it, we say it for you. But on your first birthday, we now say Kapitel Beis, which is Psalm number 2 for a person, and that's, and so forth and so on. So it's easy to remember, it's just your age plus 1, and that's your Kapitel. We should add to our study of Torah, we should make a Fabringen, which is to say a L'chaim to everybody at the table, and Suri being 22, of course, has been saying L'chaims openly and freely at the table for a year now, and we are constantly reminded when we tell her that's enough. She says, I am 21, and I want another glass of wine. So there you go. She gets another glass of wine. She's 21. How can you argue with that? We should also eat a new fruit on our birthday so that we can say the bracha, Shehechianu v'kiyamanu v'higyanu, and for men, we should get an aliyah on Shabbos, on the Shabbos prior to our birthday. And just as I did this week, everybody should have and fathers should get an aliyah for their daughters and their wives on the Shabbos prior to or on the day of the actual birthday. And so there you have the answer to that. Now, where was I? I was talking about rachamim and erech apayim. You know, it's funny, the concept of rachamim, the shoresh coming from the woman, we realize that women really do have the ability to have a tremendous amount of patience. And we as men have to learn from women about strength of character, strength of personality, the tenacity to finish and complete whatever we begin, which I've written about a couple times this week, because I feel that it's one of the things that I learned from the birth of my daughter. You know, prior to the birth of my daughter, I was an intellectual participant in the entire milieu of raising and participating in the lives of people who have Down syndrome and their families. After the birth of my daughter, I was no longer an intellectual participant, but I was also an emotional, spiritual, and in the totality of the human experience, a participant in every aspect, because I became what we call the vulnerable human syndrome. This is what I call it. We as human beings shy away from becoming vulnerable. One of the things that Hashem gives us is the ability to take care of ourselves and to gain and achieve independence, which is something that we try certainly to pass on to our children. But to become godlike, we need to be able to makabel, or to receive from Hashem, the actuality of the actual vulnerability of whatever it is Hashem is trying to give us. And I think we've mentioned before that when you and I are talking, when you're Hashpa and I'm Mekabel, you know, when you're the Mashpia, when you're giving over, I have to sit and listen and become the Mekabel. And when I'm talking, then you have to become the Mekabel. Because if we're both talking and we're both listening, that can make for a very, very boring program. We learn to give something to someone, and while you're giving, one person has to be the receiver, and so forth. Now, when you and I, when any two people are learning how to become, you have to be, in order to become a receiver, you have to be willing to mevatel yourself. You have to be willing to humble yourself to be able to become the receiver. And of course, on every level of life, there are dargas, there are different gradations of this capacity to receive. Meaning, you have to be very humble when you're in the presence of somebody who is very who has a great hashpa and a lot to give over to you. And you have to be very, sometimes you have to, you know, moderate your ability to give something over to someone because their capacity to eliminate their ego may be non-existent. Nonetheless, we do try to reach out to one another and we do try to listen to each other. Now, when you have a child who's born with Down syndrome, especially when you say to everybody, you know, everybody, you're saying to yourself at the moment the child is born, this doesn't happen to me, this happens to everybody else. This isn't happening to me. There's a mistake. Let's redo the tests. Let's find out what happened here. And, of course, everybody goes through that. I call that the king and queen of denial, the Egyptian royalty syndrome, the king and queen of denial syndrome. And, you know, we all become members of the Egyptian royal family. So what happens is after the child is born and we hear the news, suddenly we realize that whether we like it or not, we are now part of that vulnerability, that humble, we have to take on the humility of being able to receive it fully. And this is a gift that was given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Normally when you and I receive a gift, we're really happy and excited and overjoyed to be able to receive that gift from Hashem. But sure. Then all of a sudden we say to ourselves, wait a minute. This isn't what I was davening for, because nobody davens for a child who is born with Down syndrome. You know. But, nonetheless, it is a gift that was given to us by the creator of the world, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And here we are sitting and saying, but this isn't what I wanted. You know, I was taught when I was a child, you know, and properly, that when somebody gives you a gift of, whether it's a birthday present whatever kind of a present someone's giving, whether you like it or not, you say thank you. And you say thank you to make the person who gave you the gift feel as if that gift was appreciated at the highest level. Why? Because that person went out of their way to give you something. Whether you appreciate it, wanted it, needed it, isn't the point. The point is the giver must be made to feel as if they have done something fantastic. Now I'm thinking to myself, that's quite a lesson when somebody gives you the third fountain pen on your bar mitzvah. But when they give you a child who is born with a Down syndrome, it's hard for me to set aside, you know, all of my personal wishes and desires to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you, Hashem, for this really wonderful gift. Because it's hard, it's extremely difficult to have the insight and understanding to see into what this gift really is. But the lesson I learned as a child was to be able to say to the giver and make the giver feel as if they have just given you something so exceedingly wonderful that you appreciate the effort they went through to give it to you. One second. Ah. That's good stuff. As you gave me that juice machine, I tell you, I came back here and those blueberries came flying out of the package right into the... So one of the things that my mother, Allah Shalom, she should, her neshama should have an aliyah, and as we in the Hasidic world say, her neshama should have a yerida and come back already. And
amen.
We should see the ultimate simcha of joy and reunification with all of our loved ones. Anyhow, so she used to say, the very interesting thing, when you sit down at the table and somebody would, you know, she'd put a asparagus on the table. Now, my mother was very big, and by the way, and it's because of her that I appreciate all of the vegetables and all of the foods that are placed before me at any time. I don't have a food that I don't like that I can think of, and maybe if somebody else could come up with something. I have learned from my mother a very interesting lesson, and it's a multifaceted lesson, and I hope I can pass this along to everyone as well about the food you brought up at the beginning. She would put asparagus in front, and I'd say, I hate this. You know, I mean, uh-huh. you know how kids are. You know, I hate
right.
this. My mother said, would never allow anybody in our house to use the word hate. She said, if you don't like it, she said, I can't force you to like something. She said, but you can't say that you hate something because you don't have a relationship with asparagus. What she used to say was, if you don't like it, simply say, I would prefer something else. And that gets the message across to me that you're not going to eat your asparagus, or you don't want as much asparagus as I gave you. But
right.
you have an obligation when somebody gives you something to at least try it. Because if I'm putting it on your plate, there's someone in the world you must learn to trust. So it starts with your mother, you know, the rechem, the rachamim in your life. And that's where all of the essence of the kindness and the caring that comes into your life comes from is from your mother. So if your mother puts something in front of you, first of all, to say that you hate it is a real pachinponim for your mother, chas v'shalom. And secondly, if you don't like it and you want to express it, you say, I would prefer something else. Ad hayom hazeh, when I want to get my message across to my wife about somebody is really bothering me, I just tell her, I would prefer something else or someone else, you know. That's our way of saying, you know, you get the picture. So the point is that if we would all learn to eliminate the words in our vocabulary that express hatred and anger and frustration and, well, frustration's okay, but it's the hatred and the anger that's that angst that exists between people. I hate food? I mean, if you can hate an inanimate object, I remember a very famous story that happened. The Rosh once walked into the yeshiva, and the boys, it was on Friday night. Everybody had already made kiddush and washed, and they were eating the gefilte fish. So the Rosh walked over to one of the boys, and he says to the boy, he says, how do you like the fish? How do you like the gefilte fish? And the boy says, I love the fish, Rabbi. And the Rosh looked at him, he says, no, you don't. He says, if you love the fish, you wouldn't be eating it. So the point is that the relationship that we have with things, we have to understand that we need to become a little more accurate and appropriate in our ability to express ourselves. How many times have you said something to your wife or to your children or to a friend, and then halfway through the conversation you have to stop and back up and say, that's not what I meant, you know? Well, it's not what you meant because that's not what you said. What you said is something completely different than what you intended. We need to learn and define the words we're using in an accurate way, in an appropriate way, and use the words and use our words in a more meaningful way. Now, in terms of the food that we're eating, when my mother would say to us that you can't say that you hate something, you have to just say that. It became a way of relating to the world by saying something in a passive way, using passive language to express ourselves. Now, we have children that we're raising today whom we're trying to give over a concept of being fair. We want fairness in their lives.
Eliezer, I hate to interrupt you. We have a surprise guest. Can we just bring them in for a second, him or her?
A surprise guest?
Yes.
Those are the best.
Okay. Surprise guest. Can you please identify yourself? First name, if you want to give your last name, that'd be nice, but there's no, you're not required to. Hello?
I'm shocked.
Okay, it's a 972 area code. I don't know what part of the country that is. At first I thought it was Israel, but I guess it's not.
No,
okay,
it's Dallas, Fort Worth.
Dallas, Fort Worth, can you identify yourself, sir? First name, or if you feel comfortable, you could add your second name.
Kendall.
Kendall Jones?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
He didn't
good
give
morning.
His last name.
Well,
oh,
I didn't read I'm sorry, Kendall. I have a big mouth.
I
got to
teach you about doing this. Hi,
yeah,
Kendall.
Yeah.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning, Kendall.
Good, very early morning to you, huh? What is it, about 8 o'clock by you? A little after 8?
9.
9?
9 o'clock, 9:11.
Really? You're only an hour before us?
You're in Israel?
No, I'm in New York, in Brooklyn.
Oh, you're in New York. Okay.
I just returned. I'm gonna hopefully go back in another like 4 weeks, 5 weeks. But I'm back in New York. That's why I'm asking.
Oh, yeah, New York is an hour difference.
Oh, because you're all the way over on the east side of Texas, right?
Possibly, yeah, but I'm in what they call the Arklatex. You know, there's four states around us. There's
Arkansas, sure, I've been there
Oklahoma, Louisiana, and so on.
How's the weather?
It's been wet the last 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, you're not feeling any of the effects of Isaac, are you?
Possibly just the triblings, you know, there and here and there, but nothing caustic. Just you feel a wind move a little bit, but not much.
Baruch Hashem.
Yeah.
Kendall, can I break in for a second? Do you have a comment to make about what we're talking about? Do you have a question for the rabbi that perhaps you can respond to?
Well, I just called in because I was excited that somebody had left their phone number for a radio blog, and it's my first experience. And I just am amazed at the technology today that we have. My telephone is, my smartphone is a radio, as well as a clock, as well as a mail machine.
Uh-huh.
So the technology is just amazing. No, I don't have a comment because I wasn't listening that long. So what was the subject matter?
Kendall, when I
yes.
grew up, I had a watch that I used to wear called the Dick Tracy watch.
Yes.
And that was, we used to talk in our Dick Tracy watch, you know, and imagine that there was somebody talking back to us. You know,
uh-huh.
Now I don't seem as crazy as I was when I was a kid.
Well, Einstein was right.
It's amazing, though. The technology is absolutely astonishing. I just read something that said, they said that the first laptop was produced in 1988, which means that, you know, we're like just under 30 years. What is that? It's under 20 years, right? No, it's a little over 20 years that we now have
about
a laptop. Just over 20 years. Amazing. The technology, and you're walking around with a telephone that's doing more than the first computer I used at UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. And that took up three city blocks.
Yeah.
Kendall, we're talking about the attribute of mercy because we're about to spring upon the Hebrew lunar calendar, which is really a universal year for the creation. We date our calendar based on our belief in the Old Testament teachings about original man and woman, Adam and Eve, that they were brought upon the earth 5,772 years. We're getting ready for the new year, 5,773 years. And as a preparation for hope for all of us to be blessed for a sweet new year and be written into the Book of Life, Rabbi Goldzik's been elaborating on the connection between the month of the Hebrew month of Elul and mercy is connecting it to the role of a mother as nurturer, a our first vessel in the human experience of experiencing mercies, because we're being carried in the mother's womb, which in Hebrew means rechem, which relates to the translated to English, also relates to the word mercies. So we start our life with mercies on this earth, and then hopefully they'll continue, and then it becomes an effort on our part to try to bring about more mercies into the lives of special needs children. That's basically the gist, if I can superficially break it down to those few comments.
Yeah, well, my comment at this time is the rabbi that I study with, Rabbi B'nai Noach, and we study a class called Advanced Noahide Studies, and what we're studying about is exactly that, about the attribute of Hashem, Elohim, and the abbreviation for Lord. What you don't say, keep it silent for yourself. And the mercy is something that we've been discussing the last 2 weeks. And he's at noahidenations.com on Tuesday night.
What's this rabbi's name? So you can tell other people they can connect with him?
Yeah. It's Dr. Zvi Avenir.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Shreveport. He's from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Uh-huh. Now, I noticed you're from Arlington, Texas, Kendall. Did you know the late Wendell Jones, the, so to speak, Indiana Jones that was portrayed in the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Absolutely. I used to sit on the porch and talk to him at 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Hmm. I used to go down there and visit him quite a bit near the end of his life. But I also was in his group 20 years ago with Jim Long and some other notable people. We used to have some rabbis come and teach the class, as well as had some visitors like General Mappe from the Six-Day War and Yom Kippur, and tell us about old war stories in Torah class. So it was fascinating.
Wow, beautiful. Yeah. Eliezer, what is your this is we didn't expect this to be on the show, but this is a wonderful insertion. And this is also mercy that the nations of the world, the blessed Noahites, sons of Noah and daughters of Noah, are coming to a Torah consciousness, and it gives me strength to know that that more and more people want to learn of these teachings. And Kendall, we have the Lubavitcher Rebbe used to emphasize action is the main thing, and that. So what this program is also trying to do, our humble efforts today, and I really would like Eliezer to comment. Taking action into bringing mercies into the creation in terms of sensitivities towards children with special needs.
Yes, well, I think that one of the things that, and I really appreciate you calling, Kendall, because everybody seems to be afraid of picking up a phone and trying it. I mean, kol hakavod to you. And as you can see, we don't bite, and it's actually can turn out to be a lot of fun. But I think that one of the things that we need to see is what is it that, that this crazy rabbi is running around saying about children and adults who have Down syndrome? Why am I so focused? Yes, of course, I have a child, but as I said earlier, Hashem gave me the child. And I, in my attempt to be humble and to be able to receive this, had to look and see what it was that Hashem really gave me. I could look at this and say, Hashem gave me, God gave me a sick child, chas v'shalom, which, by the way, I've used on, I once walked into a room in a hospital, and they said, you know, I said, oh, mazel tov, and they said, and I knew, you know, what had happened there, and they said, didn't you hear? And I said, no, what? And they said, our baby's sick. I said, oh my gosh, I didn't realize your baby was sick. I knew that the baby had Down syndrome, but I didn't know the baby was sick. So we have to learn to understand what it is that we have. Now, a child with Down syndrome is not sick. A child is different, has an extra chromosome. That extra chromosome is imperceptible to anybody who is looking at the child, anybody who sees the child. But that one extra little chromosome that exists in my daughter brought you and I together. Kendall is in Texas, and I'm in Crown Heights, and so is Don, and we're sitting here talking together because that extra chromosome adds so much of a dimension to life. Because people who have Down syndrome have so many positive attributes that you don't see, because all of a sudden, when the child is born, the only thing you see is the challenge and the work. And we don't see the ability to share real, genuine love with one another. And that's not just limiting it to the concept of a Havas Yisrael, which is obviously a very powerful love, but it's the love of that Ahavas Yisrael goes to everyone. We are all children of the same Creator. I had a gentleman who just sent me an email today, and I was talking with him, and he lives in like Pakistan or someplace, and he wanted to know where he could purchase, he wanted to know the Seder, the order of prayers. And I said to him, you know, what is it you're after? I said, you know, the order that he was giving me was incorrect. And I explained to him that, what is your background? Why do you want to pray like a Jew? Are you Jewish? And he said, no. He says, but I want to pray like a Jew because I want to be like a Jew. I said, but what are you? He said, basically, he says, what do you want me to pray like pray to Allah, and like a Muslim? I said, well, are you a Muslim? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, why wouldn't you? And he was kind of stumped there because, first of all, I'm not out to convert the world. Everybody thinks that this is like a political contest. You know, oh, the Jews are converting, so let's get the non-Jews. And the idea here is that we all have one God. In fact, the Rambam brings down that that saying the name of Allah is like saying Gutz Nomen. It's a name. It's an actual name of Hashem, because they don't. The Muslims believe in one God, and when you say that, you have to be careful that you don't use it, you know, as a joke. Because a lot of people, I see people, you know, joking. They'll say so and so Akbar, and you know, but they make it as a joke, and it's not a joke. That's a shame, right. Hashem. And we have to be careful. And these are the kinds of things that we need to share amongst one another. People with Down syndrome are very simple, very straightforward, and very honest. And they look at the situation, and they see people, and they have a genuine caring and a genuine love. And if we all could pick up on that, then we would all be making, you know, we would all be connected with this whole idea of overcoming our differences and uniting with all of our similarities and trying to locate and find all of those things that, you know, make us similar or the same. And yes, we are different. There's no question. I mean, it's like saying, you know, men and women are different, but we also have a lot of similarities. There are certain days of the week when I really look hard for that one. But okay, anyhow, the point of making is, for example, we all have to learn the values of chesed. Chesed, gevurah, teferes, netzach, hod, yisod, malchus, all of these attributes. Every single person possesses attributes of kindness and mercy and what happened? Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I hit the wrong button, and I started playing the song to end the show, but we're not at the end of the show yet.
Excuse Is that the song you're playing?
Interruption.
Is that the song you're playing? Anyhow,
No. We'll play that song later on. Not now.
Okay. So anyhow, Kendall, what I'm saying is that first of all, I really appreciate you calling. I'm happy to hear that you're involved in a one God atmosphere that recognizes the Torah, and I'm happy to be part of your life and part of that and share in your quest and your thirst for achieving a level of spirituality that otherwise probably could not be attained in your life.
Yeah, it's amazing what I've learned, and looking at the world in such a way that, you know, quite frankly, you talk about Hesed and the other two attributes, Mishpat and Tzedakah, these things that I've learned about, it just gives you a whole new dimension of how to live the day, each day, and look forward to the rest at the end of the week. Of course, we practice it differently, but it's just Torah is a daily walk for me. Because of the fact there were so many questions before, and that's why they call it, you know, BC or B what. I always call it BW.
What?
I always call it BW. You know, B what? You know, it was always the question. But now, one of the fascinating things is that when Vendel started the Torah classes 20 plus years ago, in Arlington, for us, they've been carried on and continued on, and now we have these websites where we can go to these classes. And when we hear people like you talking on the phone or talking on the internet and seeing things and blog, radio, it just blows my mind to hear, you know, things like this being talked about, because I know that they go viral eventually.
Amen.
The world needs this.
You know, the Rebbe once said that the whole reason that a television and a radio and the internet were even invented was for this very purpose.
Mm-hmm.
This is the whole reason that it was all invented, and if we're not using it and utilizing it to its full capacity, then it's our fault. I mean, the people who invented it have done their job. It's our job to disseminate the information. It's also our job to listen to what's being disseminated and participate in it and to gain from it. And hopefully, you know, the world is like a scale. There are many people who say this, not a real Hasidic approach, but it's a Rambam. Says that, you know, the world is, the scale is tipped by just one mitzvah can tip the balance, you know, in favor of the good. And disseminating and learning Torah together with people of a like mind is certainly, you know, a mitzvah every second that we're doing it.
Kendall, can I ask you a question? This is Don. Now, I noticed on your Facebook page, it mentions that you play virtuoso guitar. Have you attempted yet? And if not, I would humbly suggest to you to take some of your teachings and start to put it into music to help spread the message through the wonderful vessels of guitar playing.
Yes, actually, I've written about 16 songs for the Noahides, so we sing these at celebrations such as... when we have conferences. I just wrote them about 3 or 4 years ago. I can send you some music if you like. I'm having to re-record them because of the poor quality we had, you know, 5 years ago when we recorded them recently.
That's okay because we have high quality listening.
Say again?
I said, that's okay because we have high quality listening.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. Isn't it? Now we do.
Well, Kendall, please, at your convenience, you can send it to my Facebook page. I'll be very happy to, and I'd be very honored, excuse me, to allow other blessed souls to access your music.
Yes, let me get an index card here. Just give me some vital information, just in case I don't see it on the Facebook.
Okay, I'll give you my email.
Let's do this afterward, because I got a couple quick things we're going to do. You can stay on the phone, okay? And then after the program, we can share all the information. I just want to say real quickly before we get going, because I see that by the old clock on my wrist,
yes,
that
we're about
time
to...
is running out.
Yes.
Chazal teach us that the second base of Migdash was destroyed because of causeless hatred, which is equivalent to the three severest averas. And this happened despite the fact that they were very active in the mitzvah of Gemilas Chasadim. In other words, they helped each other, but they still... couldn't overcome this, baseless hatred. I want to say that anyone who is interested, quickly, I just want to throw this in, interested in participating in our project in Israel, which is really a project to overcome differences and to allow people who otherwise would not have been able to reach their full and complete potential. Machon Shir of Zimra will be opening our doors in the coming month, and I hope to have some very good news about the funding and financing coming up in the next 2 weeks.
Amen.
We have achieved a remarkable opportunity here. So the thing is like this, anyone who wants to participate and wants to help and be a partner before, everybody, jumps on the bandwagon, to be one of those people that I'll always be able to say, this is a person who had the fortitude and the wherewithal to say ahead of time, yeah, this is something I want to be a part of. This is something I want to contribute to. This is something I want to make my life and a statement. And El, of course, is the time. Melech Basada, the king is in the field. We can walk right up to the king. Everything we need is right at our fingertips. And it's a very relaxed atmosphere. We have a relationship with Hashem that is unbelievable at this time. Show Hashem where you want to put your gashmius, your materialism. And Hashem will show you what he wants to do with your ruchnius, with your spirituality. And here is the way to do it. You send a check to 383 Kingston Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, suite number 232, Brooklyn, New York 11213, or you send it to 616 East New York Avenue, that's Brooklyn, New York 11203. Or you can send it to P.O. Box 80, Brooklyn, New York, 11225-0080. Or if you want to talk to me or anyone at Heart to Heart, you can call 718-778-0111. Or if you want to call us in Israel or send a fax to Israel, you can call us at 972-76545-7599. And anyone who is listening and would like to call in Israel, it's 0-1-1-972-76-545-7599. And if you would like to call me on my cell phone, it's 718-576-8757. And if you would like to talk to Reb Don Zusha Goodman in New York. The number to call is
1-347-355-7676. Kendall, if you want, you can take this number down. You can text me and we can trade information. That's 1-347-355-7676. So I guess that about wraps it up for today. We started in one place and wound up in another place. We didn't expect, but I think it's a better place because I think that's the beauty of our humble efforts, that with all our intentions, Hashem wanted us to dialogue with Blessed Brother Noah Hyde, son of Noah Kendall Jones today, all the way out in the great state of Texas, Longhorn State. I want to thank you very much, Kendall, for coming on the show and sharing some very powerful information with Rabbi Goldstock, myself, and all of us.
Thank you very much, Kendall. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your calling in and your contributing, and you're welcome to call, you know, next week and subsequent weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Straight through.
Okay.
Anytime. You're a delight.
Put you on the calendar.
Thank
what?
You very much. He's going to put us on the calendar.
Oh, awesome. I'm going to put him on the calendar, too.
Well, gentlemen and blessed souls out there, we're going to wrap up the show with a song. It is called Sweet Home Jerusalem. This was the lyrics of Rabbi Lazer Brody. He's a Breslover chassid out in the land of Israel. Music is by Menachem Herman, who actually played at my wedding almost 22 years ago. And also want to give out a couple of shout-outs to number one. Today is actually the birthday of my son, Yosef Yitzhak Goodman. He turns 12 today, so
happy birthday, Yosef.
Yes, yes, yes. And we're going to, we hope to be celebrating with him today.
What time
and
is the Fabringen? I'm coming over for a free meal.
Hopefully we're going to start preparing for his bar mitzvah next year. More details to follow, hopefully. And also, listen, I want to remind everyone, please, don't overestimate the negativity within yourself and don't underestimate the good within yourselves. We conclude, as usual, with Ahav Echad, one love, Goral Echad, one destiny, Lukolano, for all of us. B'darch Hashem, in a peaceful way, darchanum, and in a pleasant way. This is Sweet Home Jerusalem. It's going to sound similar to Sweet Home Alabama because it is the music from Sweet Home Alabama, but here it's talking about Sweet Home Jerusalem, where eventually all nations shall flow, not just the nation of Israel, because the Most High declared through the prophet Isaiah, my house is a house of prayer. Jerusalem, very soon, speeding my days with hopefully the universal redemption, shall be a place where people can utter their sincere prayers wherever they're coming, whatever background they are, to the Most High to make it a better world in thanks of gratitude for redeeming us all from this state of temporary exile.
One second, everyone.
Yeah.
Baruch atah Adonai Elohim ha'olam barein of hashesh rabeis v'chesed ran al kol ma'a shebarasa l'chayesh behem nefesh kol chai baruch elohim.
Amen. And Rabbi Goldstein just concluded with an after bracha, as we call it, a concluding blessing, thanking the Most High for creating everything with their, even with their lackings, that he is the life of all that fulfills these lackings. And now let's end the show with Sweet Home Jerusalem. Take care, everyone.
even though it's the biggest song of the tune.